Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, I think Anthony Davis just scored on Karl Anthony Towns again.
Yeah, man, if you listen closely, you can hear the sound of Karl Anthony Towns complaining to the referees about not being able to guard Anthony Davis, apparently. Yeah.
This is illegal. What? Yes. Him? That's illegal.
I'm not supposed to be the barbecue chicken.
Did you ever see the clip? Remember, was it Daryl Dawkins? It was Daryl Dawkins, right?
Mm-hmm. Chocolate Thunder, yeah.
Chocolate Thunder, when he talked about guarding Kareem.
Mm-mm.
He was talking about the series where he was having to guard Kareem, and he was trying to go to sleep one night, and he was like, he was rolling around in bed, and he was just like, skyhook right, skyhook left, skyhook right, skyhook left. And yeah, it was just like, I just feel like Karl Anthony Towns was sitting there like, ah, literally any basket, anything, he's driving at me.
Drop step here, yeah. Spin move there.
We haven't seen that sorry a performance from Karl Anthony Towns since he tapped out of a fight in Philadelphia. Today's show, we are going to answer your guys' questions. We still have a ton. We are a full week behind. So I say this about every show, but we are actually going to try to fly through these. We are not. Let's start with the first one, though. Door Jam Jabbar writes, "Hey guys, thanks again for balanced, critical, and loving analysis of the Lakers and the game. This one is for Pete too. I've seen the Lakers guards on defense funneling their guys into AD and Howard and or McGee, often staying on the guy's hip or even guarding them from behind. Sometimes it works great, forcing a hard floater or a wild outlet or to the corner, whatever. But other times it seems to open up the paint for the opponent. What are the advantages and disadvantages for this approach?"
So yeah, it's, you know, you're playing the percentages, and that means that something's not going to work all of the time. It's just you're trying to find the better than the alternative. And so we're talking games like last night where they played Minnesota, and they figured out pretty early, like, oh, we could just outscore these guys. So they're going to make some kind of uncharacteristic defensive mistakes relative to what they'd be doing if they, you know, were fully invested. Mm-hmm. But in the type of scenarios that he's talking about, you know, if you can force those floaters league-wide, they shoot about 40%. You want to have one hand up and one hand out, ideally, like mirroring the ball with your hand and then kind of getting in the passing lane if you're AD or JaVale or Dwight. Dwight's really good if you notice as guys get to that point, that floater 5 foot type range, he's really good at stripping guys on their gather, mm-hmm. down low, and then he'll challenge up top. So that's another way you can go about doing it. It's really about how attached can you stay, the talent level of the guard across from you and how big they are. This is harder to do the more size that a guy has, but if it's a, you know, 6'3" point guard, then, you know, it's a fairly effective strategy. Like, these are NBA players. They're going to, even when you do everything right, they're going to score a certain number of points per game. So it's just a matter of limiting them. But I think by and large, they've done a good job of funneling for exactly the reasons that the listener says, of staying on their hips, staying, giving back pressure and all of that.
Yeah. I just, in general, I'm not going to get into the weeds there the way that you do, but just in general, the reason people do scouting and stuff like that isn't so that you create this foolproof, like, there's never been a shutout in NBA history, right?
Right.
In basketball. Like, you're never going to find something where that completely takes away everything strategically from the other team offensively. But, you know, what can you do to force those guys into situations that they might not be comfortable? Or, like, we saw it in the first game against the Clippers, where the Clippers basically kind of egged the Lakers into a strategy on offense that took them out of a lot of the things that makes the Lakers really good now, right? So just in general, like, yes, to your point, you have noticed that stuff, and that's a great observation. But just because it doesn't work one set of every five times, or even two or three times out of every five times, like, that, it still makes it a good strategy. And when you have the kind of presences that you have on the back line, That's the smart strategy to utilize.
No, that's absolutely right. I'm looking up their synergy stats. They give up 0.91 points per possession on runners, which was actually fifth worst in the league. But when you compare that to what you give up around the basket, so they give up 1.11 points per possession on shots around the basket. That's really good, actually, defensively. That's 7th best in the NBA. But that's, you know, 20 points per 100 possessions more than you're giving up on those runners, that 0.91. Mm-hmm. So even though relative to the rest of the league, it's not great, it's more about getting a higher volume of the least efficient shots. That's what they're going for, and they've done a solid job of that.
Mm-hmm. LeBron's hair dealer writes, one of the best podcasts out there. Question, can we start referring to Alex Caruso as Mr. Plus Minus, Mr. Net Rating? Which of those have a better ring to it?
I like the spirit of where he's going with that. I think we can do better. We are Laker fans, and we are, you know, we consist of many creative type people. So yeah we got to come up with a, you know, what do you think of AC Fresh? Do you like the AC Fresh nickname?
I don't like nicknames that people give themselves.
Did he give that to himself?
That's his Twitter at, right? That's always been his Twitter at. So
gotcha. Right.
I just don't think we're ever going to do better than the Bald Mamba.
Yeah, that's probably true.
That's never, you know, the Bald Eagle, the Bald Mamba. I like some people doing Captain America, something like that. But you know, Caruso, I'm going to give Bill McDonald some credit for that one. That's not bad. Okay.
Okay.
But like in terms of like the plus minus stuff, there has to be like Mister was always kind of a cop out for superheroes. Like Mr. Elastic Man and Mr. So-and-so, right? That was always kind of when they couldn't come up with a smarter, you know, name than Batman or Superman, Spider-Man, whatever. It was like Mr. Octopus Guy. It was just, right. Yeah. So we got to do better than Mr.
Yes, yes. But to the spirit of the point is you know, mm-hmm. valid.
Let's go one more question here. Phil F. writes, hey, guys, just wondering if you know why the Lakers sometimes play the Home Improvement TV theme song on defense. It baffles me for a couple reasons. One, the beat does not lend itself to defense chants. And two, why? Thank you.
Shout out to Dan Bailey, who he's a musician, drummer for Father John Misty. He's on Lakers Twitter. Mm-hmm. Really great dude. He and I were talking about this the other night, and that drives him absolutely crazy. So, Dan, I don't know if you listen to Locked On. I think you do. But he was like, why? Why did they play the – like? And the thing on top of that is that, like, it's how Home Improvement's 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Like I remember it as mm-hmm. the almost 40-year-old guy, but like, is that like really still the Home Improvement theme? I don't know. On top of all that, I'm with him on all that.
Yeah. I don't really get it. Cause I mean, are they saying that they're building a fence? Like they're.
Oh, defense. Like Wilson, right? That was the name of the character.
Yeah, I guess maybe. But, oh, like over the fence?
Yeah, the neighbor understand. Over the fence.
Yeah. No, I don't. But it's still such like, if we have to think about it, it's not great.
Right. Well, exactly. And again, this is like, oh, that was when I was a teenager that show was on. Like, is this really the cultural reference we need to be making with our, anyway.
Yep. All right. Let's take another quick second here. When we come back, we're going to keep on answering your questions about apparently anything.
Yes.
Today's show is brought to you by Audible, an Amazon company. It's that time of year when everyone is traveling or running around getting thoughtful gifts to people you care about. Think about giving yourself the gift of Audible membership. Now is the best time to do it with a special offer of 53% off your first 3 months. Access and an unbeatable selection of audiobooks including bestsellers, motivation, mysteries, thrillers, memoirs, and more. You can choose 3 titles every month, 1 audiobook, and 2 exclusive Audible originals you can't hear anywhere else. Listen on any device, anytime, anywhere with the Audible app. It's great while commuting, at the gym, or just during your holiday travels. With Audible, you'll also enjoy easy audiobook exchanges and your own audiobook library you keep forever, even if you cancel. Right now, for a limited time, you can get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. That's more than half off the regular price. So give yourself the gift of listening. For more, go to audible.com/lockedonNBA.
Right now, for a limited time, you can get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. Again, that's more than half off the regular price. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA or text lockedonNBA to 500-500. Again, that's audible.com/lockedonNBA or text lockedonNBA to 500-500. Personally, I'm all about the Game of Thrones series. The guy who does it is incredible, and I could not have possibly gotten caught up the way that I did without Audible. So again, head over to audible.com/lockedonNBA or text lockedonNBA to 500-500 to take advantage of the offer. A new 08 writes, "Dear Fred and Pineapple Pete, thanks Anthony for granting my Thanks, Anthony, for granting my Paul George and Kawhi MFers wish. Pete, what will it?
Sorry, buddy.
what will it take for the Office of MFer applications to approve those two snakes for MFer status?
there needs to be some MFery in the playoffs against them. That's how they can qualify in my heart. So, yeah, that's what we need to get out of them.
All right. Anywho, I actually wasn't high for my last Coach Voltron question, FYI.
Also, all of these are the same guy?
This is all the same guy. FYI, which may be more of a greater indictment of my character for listening daily while sober. Last, I was at the Lakers' recent win over the Nuggets.
Out, right? They're like talking shit. They're having conversations with us now.
It's fun. It's fun.
All right.
I was at the Lakers' recent win over the Nuggets, and that was incredibly cathartic after a whole game of trash talking with local fans. That LeBron putback dunk to seal it shut the building up. I just yelled ball game, but nothing they could say. So sweet to be a good team again. Is there like a moment where you were at a game that, like, I guess we both came to the realization we weren't at an away game, but. Like, do you have any, like, obnoxious other teams fans moments? Like, the story I give about the Celtics fan on Christmas Day. Do you have any stories like that?
I do have the one. I think I told it about, but I wasn't necessarily obnoxious. My basic humanity took over, and I think I convinced two Celtics fans to not stick around and get their asses kicked.
That's right.
It was game seven and we were down by a bunch and they had locked down LA Live at like noon because there were like a 250,000 people in like a half mile radius. And anyway, people had been drinking like way before the game started. We were all like stuck in this bar or just in this very, you know, close vicinity. And so, yeah, these two, like, they were both redheaded with freckles and everything. It was like the quintessential, like, dudes from Massachusetts. And, you know, they were talking a little shit in the first half. And, like, the people who were there were a little drunk and not inhibited. Anyway, I convinced them, like, you need to go. We're either going to lose and you're going to get your ass kicked, or we're going to win and we're going to celebrate by kicking your ass.
Yeah.
So they got out of there.
Next question here comes from Jordan Farmar 93. Thanks for tuning into the show. We've had some couple good weeks. We've had LeBron on the show. Kobe is on the show. Now Jordan Farmar sending his questions. Big fan of the show. Considering Caruso's defensive defense and how it's ranked analytically, top four guard on 538, Raptor, fourth in defensive rating amongst guards who play 15 minutes or more a game, does the Bald Eagle have a realistic chance of making an NBA all-defensive team? What would you say the odds are?
Less than 1%. He doesn't play enough minutes. Also, I mean, his play's been up to it. He just doesn't play enough.
Also, these things are usually like a year behind.
Oh, defensive awards especially.
Yeah. So I think, well, I guess my question would be too, though, if he played the type of minutes he would have to, do you think it would continue to allow him to play this type of defense?
That's a good question, right? Is the amount of energy you can expend in 20 minutes per game, it's more jam-packed than you can over 30.
Yeah.
Probably not. But I'd like to see what 24 looked like or 25. And, you know, if he can do that first, then, hey, maybe 30 is a possibility at that caliber of defense. And I do think he's, you know, one of the, if they're, I don't know, do they do three all defensive teams or maybe two? I do think he's one of the better defensive guards in the NBA, no doubt. He just doesn't play enough to really deserve those type of accolades yet. Yeah. Although, wouldn't that be the funniest freaking thing? Could you imagine NBA Twitter's head would collectively explode at Alex Caruso getting that type of shine? Yeah. Oh God, I want it to happen. That would.
We should start. We should start tweeting Alex Caruso DPMA or DPOI.
Like all of NBA Twitter, like Caruso, all defense first team or something.
Yeah, we got
to
figure
something
out.
That's like close enough for them to think that we really genuinely believe it.
Yeah,
but wild enough to really piss them off.
Oh, wait, you don't genuinely believe it? Wow, wow.
We keep that here. We'll let's keep that off. When we're talking to them.
Okay. But. All right, next question here comes from Gabby 61793. Hey guys, thanks for all the hard work. I love how casual your conversations sound. And by the way, I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with a little cussing here and there. People need to lighten up. It just adds to the rawness of the show. Anyway, my question is, how do you feel about the inconsistency of the with the officiating this year? For example, the way that the Clippers are given so much leeway with reach-ins and body checks, they're thinking of Patrick Beverley here. It makes me cringe when people say Bev is an elite defender when he's actually just fouling most of the time. I feel like these little inconsistencies prevent the Lakers from playing the best defense possible since they don't want to get called for petty fouls. I appreciate you taking the time to answer my question. Thanks.
I don't share their feelings that the officiating is inconsistent personally. So it's hard for me to base anything off of that, premise. I just don't agree. You?
I think there is something to the reputation call, but the Lakers also were benefiting from the reputation calls, right? Like sure. They're allowed to be more physical at the rim because they are always more physical at the rim. So I think it's all, and again, I don't like talking about refereeing because if we're talking about refereeing about the team that we happen to root for or the team we cover or whatever, it's going to come off as whining. And the last thing we ever want to sound like is Rockets fans.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the you want to steer clear of that. That was also funny. God, I love the NBA. This is so great.
Yeah, I just wish, like, I loved the fact, you know how on Key and Peele they had the angry translator guy?
Luther, yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted there to be a translation of Adam Silver's response to where he basically just shamed him, like, you guys choked away the game.
Yeah.
That's not on us.
That's right. He's right. It's, bro, the whole thing was ridiculous, man. They were up by 13 points when that didn't happen.
It flies in the face of the of the laws of basketball. You know, like imagine like going back and saying because somebody stepped on the line in a pickup game on the first shot of the game.
Right.
And then going and saying that, like, no, actually, we won that game because that guy stepped on the line and some random, like, some stranger comes by and says, hey, by the way, did you see that guy stepped on the line and now you guys get an extra point? Like, that's not how life works, man. That's not how this works.
No, absolutely not. It was a silly thing from the beginning. And imagine if we, like, you think that was the only missed call in that game?
Yeah.
Of course not, right?
Now, maybe nothing that egregious, and I think maybe there's something to be said about, you know, going back and looking at any play that directly affects, like, the actual point. Goaltending comes to mind here. But that's not how the laws are written right now, and stop bitching. One more question here before we break. Question from international Laker fan, hey, Anthony and Pete, love the content, keep it up. My question is, are we currently in championship or bust mode, or is it too early for that? Am I the only one who thinks Harrison and Darius kind of sound the same? Every time I hear Harrison as a guest and then listen to Darius on LFR, I swear they sound the same.
They get that a lot. That always amuses me.
And which it's is always, funny because they always love it too, guys. Keep it coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that's like their favorite thing.
Yeah.
It's funny because their just like general way about them is so different.
Yeah.
That the fact that they get confused because of the tonal qualities of their voice is amusing to me for sure. What was the first question?
Well, do you hear it though? I don't really hear it that much.
It's one of those things like I talk to them so much that no, I don't hear it.
Yeah.
But you can see, like, people say my brother and I look alike, and we kind of do. But, like, you know, when you are around somebody all the time, you see the differences.
Mm-hmm. The first question was, are we in championship or bust mode?
Yes. Yeah, man, it kind of feels that way. It's kind of good in that it's indicative of how dominant that they've looked. Like, it certainly wasn't my expectation at the beginning of the season, but nearly a third of the way into it, now I'm like, they can beat anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not just like they've got a puncher's chance, like I thought at the beginning of the year. Like, no, they're legitimately good. It does come down to injuries, though. Like, you know, who is healthy and ready to go. But if we got our whole squad, yes, I think it's championship or bust. Do you think we're at that point already?
No, I'm not quite there yet.
Okay.
My problem with that, though, is that, like, because then you're starting to – now you're starting to mess with, like, the analysis looking back on the season when – so – over the course of the season, after the Lakers acquired Pau Gasol, would you have said they became championship or bust that year?
No. Okay. Because I don't think there's quite the ticking clock. And you know, maybe, oh, hey, maybe fair. We get this version of LeBron, too.
Mm-hmm.
But with this version of
LeBron, you feel like you gotta strike while that iron's hot.
Right. Like he turns 35 in a couple of weeks and like he looks freaking amazing. But like that's different than Kobe was, what, 29 or 30?
Yeah.
At the point where they got, you know, where they got Powell. So it's like, oh, we'll have another shot at it. And I don't think this is like a 1 year championship window type of thing. It's just that with guys that age, there's nothing guaranteed.
Yeah.
And yes, LeBron's a robot. Maybe he'll be doing this when he's 40, too. I hope so, because I think that could sure benefit the Lakers. But I feel more urgency, whereas in 2008, like, I wasn't as upset with the result because I did think Boston was a better team and we were a year away. And that year was found money. Bro, that year started with the Kobe send me to Pluto.
Well, no, that's why I'm asking, because at the beginning of the year, you were like, can we just get through the season and still have Kobe?
Uh-huh.
Right. And then they acquire Powell. And my question is, like, once they acquired Powell, like, how much did that change the math on that season for you?
It changed it. It turned it into we can win the championship type of season. But it wasn't championship or bust. Right. Yeah. Like, that would have been amazing to win the title that year. But they came so far. And if LeBron's got a few more years in him, it's a similar type of season. Right. If say we fall just short.
Mm-hmm.
In May or June, and we've got our full MLE, we've got some flexibility in terms of, you know, guys that we can trade and move. There's ways to make slight upgrades. I think we can all agree if the Lakers aren't the best team in the NBA, they're right there. They're not that far away. So if we get another season of LeBron like this, then yeah, it's not championship or bust. And it's a hell of a year in which we've made a lot of progress. I'm just, that's always in the back of my mind that LeBron's about to be 35.
Talk to me again after next Thursday's game.
Against Milwaukee? Oh, you're putting a ton into that one?
No. I just think, like, if they beat Milwaukee, then I'm willing to start talking championship or bust. Mm-hmm. You know, if they lose to Milwaukee, they get their asses kicked to Milwaukee, then I say, like, all right, then maybe they weren't quite ready for that yet. I think it's really, even while it's, what are they, 24 games in right now, that's still kind of early for me to completely rethink the way that I thought about the way the season could go heading into it.
Well, I didn't think they didn't have a chance going into it. Did you think they just didn't have a chance?
I had them as like a second tier championship contender.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that they would come out of the West, and now I'm going to jump to championship or bust. I don't really see that right now.
I mean, the difference between coming out of, like, losing in the Western Conference Finals and winning a title is not – it's not that much distance, right? Like, if you lose to the Clippers in the Conference Finals and, like, is that really far away from beating the Bucks? I don't know.
But, like – but bust is a really big word.
That's true.
You know, so, true. Like, it's not – like, if the Lakers lose in the championship to Milwaukee, I wouldn't say, like, well, that season sucked.
Sure.
You know, so I don't know. All right, let's take another quick second here. When we come back, we're going to finish up. We've actually been rolling through these questions.
I've been trying, man. I've been trying to be better.
We'll see if we can keep this thing going. All right, we're back here. Brewer Writer 78 writes, man, that's a tough school to write about right now, UCLA. UCLA's athletics are just woof. I say this as a UCLA fan. My grandparents met at UCLA.
Huh. Nice. Yeah.
So like I usually I'm not I don't usually say if you didn't go to that school, why are you a fan of that school kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, I literally wouldn't exist if not for UCLA. So
you got something to owe them. There you go.
Yeah, I'll give it that. But boy, this Chip Kelly thing. Woof. All right. So they write, Great show, Anthony. You're like the toppings on the gourmet pizza that is Pete.
I think that's a compliment to both of us.
I'll take it.
Yeah. I'm flattered, at least.
You're the crust.
Yeah. Gourmet pizza. I like that because, like, I don't want to be a gourmet, like, dish you can't pronounce. I want to be something that, like, you know, you want to eat.
I think I would say, like, gourmet steak. That's, I think that if somebody ever calls me a gourmet filet or something like that, I'd say, like, all right, that's about as nice a thing as you can say about me.
Well, nonetheless, that this was very nice.
I'm very well marbled. A ton of fat. I represent the pineapple, sweet and funny, the jalapenos, the hot takes, and the occasional truffle. Nuanced deep dives into process and public relations. Do you like? I've never really enjoyed truffles on pizza. Just when I was starting to get used to the jalapenos, you had to add rotting fish heads by supporting the Celtics over the Clippers. Shame, shame, shame. What's your prediction for the next 20 games?
How do you? I like that guy. He's had some.
Man, I was like getting buttered up. I was like, I feel great. Yeah. This is amazing. And then whap. All right. I answered with, we'll just do December. I said that I think they're going to go 10-5. Over December, mm-hmm. They have 15 games in December. How do you feel about that prediction?
I think that's right about right. I'd probably go with 11-4. Mm-hmm. But yeah, right there.
How difficult do you think the schedule is now that we've seen all these teams in action? Do you think it's as tough as it was made out to be? Or
so? Here's the thing. I've been thinking about this. Lakers are like 16-0 against teams that are under 500 now. Mm-hmm. Just some like ridiculous mark. And it really comes down to AD being a huge floor raiser.
Yeah.
In that, like, how many of these games where you've played kind of like shit in the first quarter and it's like, and the Lakers are tied with the Hornets 24-24. Anthony Davis has 14 points, you know,
yeah.
Like he's the guy who's like the reason we're in the game at mm-hmm. all in the first place. And then eventually they gave a shit enough to win the game. And so against the tougher teams, the games that they've lost, specifically Dallas and Toronto, I felt they'd been too comfortable. They were up in both games early and they treated those teams like, oh, this is just another one of the games that we play where we're just way better than them. And yeah. It's not going to matter what they do. And then they punched back. And when an NBA team gets rolling like that, it's difficult to slow them down, even if you're really, really good. Mm-hmm. So it's going to just depend. There's going to be some night where I was talking to somebody today about this, where like every game for the Lakers is a big game for the other team.
Yeah.
And it's just like impossible to have that energy on 82 games a season. And so there's going to be one of these nights where like our arch rival is playing us that we aren't even in like the top 10 of teams right. We care about.
Portland or
that,
something.
Right. That's that they get a W against us. But those better teams, they've been pretty good at getting up for them. I just worry, are they on a 6-game winning streak and then they play a good team and then that when that team punches back, they don't have any answer.
Yeah. My problem with the way that we do strength of schedule takes is that we just seem to consider we don't consider the context under which the game is played. So stuff like you're talking about, getting the team's best punch or whatever, right? And it's the kind of thing that NBA Twitter would kind of roll their eyes at. But that's actually the case. That's actually how this goes. That George Sedano came on the show, and he was in New Orleans for the game. He watched the game where Anthony Davis played there for the first time back. And that place was rocking. That was a playoff game for him. That's the only playoff game they're going to play this year, right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to get situations like that other teams won't have to face. It's not – I don't say this to whine. The reason that we get that is because we are the Lakers are the Lakers, I just wish that when we talked about strength of schedule, there was a way to factor in stuff like that. When the Lakers beat Phoenix earlier this year, Ricky Rubio and Aaron Baines were still healthy and they were playing the best ball of the season that they're probably going to play.
That was a good win. Yeah,
and yet when you look at that win now, you say like, well, Phoenix is below 500 again. Well, okay, sure, but. Like they weren't at that time. That's not the kind of team that they beat. I still think we're trying to figure out how to actually compute strength of schedule stuff.
Yeah, I mean, especially relative to you know, what does it matter ultimately? Because, like, you know, who the best team in the playoffs is not necessarily who the best team in the regular season is. And that's why and what you were talking about teams getting up for the Lakers. And I think that's something the Clippers are experiencing this year, quite frankly. I think that they were one of those teams that teams would give their B minus effort against on a fairly regular basis, you know, during the doldrums of the season. And now it's like, oh, the Clippers are in town. Like, this is a big game. Yeah. This is one of the well-regarded teams in the league. And I think they've dropped a few of those games as a result of that.
Yeah, I mean, you hear it all the time with, like, rookies, right? He's not taking anybody by surprise this year, you know? And that's how it goes. That's how that goes. And the Lakers just happen to be ready for it so far this year. So it's been fun to watch. JNRO9676 writes, love the show. Anthony and Pete, you guys are fantastic. Thank you. My question is, how competitive in the Western Conference would this team be? Julius Randle, Larry Nance Jr., Jordan Clarkson, D'Angelo Russell, Brandon Ingram, Ivica Zubac, Thomas Bryant, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Kyle Kuzma, Mo Wagner, Svi, Isaac Bonga. I think a starting lineup of Lonzo, D'Angelo, B.I., Julius, and Zu, with Kuz, Hart, and Mo off the bench as rotation guys that get minutes, is at best maybe a seventh seed. Does that rationalize in some way the way Magic in the Magic's era as president of basketball operations?
Oh, absolutely. First off, with the kids, as much as I liked them and supported them, they were always, if we wanted to win a championship now, then how many of these teams, let's say the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Bucks are the three premier teams in the NBA right now. How many of them have somebody under 25 that's important in their rotation? Like, there's a couple of guys.
Yeah.
Kuz is, if he's not 25 yet, he's very close, right? Caruso's mm-hmm. right around the same age, but, like, you look at even B.I. is, what, still 22? Mm-hmm. Lonzo's the same age. All of these guys, you know, like, maybe Josh Hart's a back end of the rotation type contributor. So, yeah, I agree that that's a seventh seed right now. The value of having those types of guys is having them on their rookie contract and then stacking two. Like, they're the guys that you either put around the stars or you move a couple of them for a third guy and some veterans. But by and large, if you're looking to win a title right now, like, yeah, they're not really much of a factor at all. That's true of the vast majority of young players.
Yeah, and to the point that you're making right now, that's why, so we've all noticed this, right? Where Anthony Davis does something incredible, and the take is, and you guys told me that the Lakers overpaid for Anthony Davis. That was never the take. It was never that they just straight up overpaid for Anthony Davis. There is no such thing as overpaying for Anthony Davis.
Correct.
It's given the context and the comparative value that the Lakers gave up for Anthony Davis compared to the other values out there for Anthony Davis. That was the issue. That was the gripe that we had with the process of acquiring Anthony Davis, not the acquisition of acquiring Anthony Davis.
Yeah, if we're like one guy short, it would be nice to have one more asset, you know, to be able to acquire that guy. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, that's all that we were talking about when we had gripes with the process that went into landing him. And yeah, I mean, any of those guys that we talk about, like, it would be nice to have a Josh Hart in the rotation or to pair with, you know, maybe one of those pick swaps or whatever that you could offer out there for a player who could help at the end of this rotation, the point guard that the Lakers could possibly use, whatever that is. That it would be nice if they had a you know, one more thing to be able to offer up and improve their team this year, because if this is a championship or bust year, then no deal should be off the table that it improves this team.
That's right.
OVO2631 writes, what up, Anthony and Pete? I really love the show, man. I love it so much that I completely abandoned radio.
Oh,
I like that. I like to hear that.
Anthony, looking out, oh, thank you. You're like, yes,
yes.
Let them die.
I mean, anyway, my question for you guys is, can we still go, can we still win a championship without Kuzma? After watching the Nuggets game, he looked horrible. I know you guys can preach patience, and he's coming back from injury. I really think it's time for him to go. I don't agree there. Kuzma and Rondo. Rondo's been playing. This was sent on December 4th, so this is 5 days ago. What type of players do you think we can get for a Kuzma in a trade? I'm not going to touch the Kuzma in a trade thing because it's just not – that bogs up the show. But
yeah.
Are the Lakers still a championship contender if Kuzma falls well short of his ceiling?
I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but yeah, they look like one. Like, Kuz hasn't hit his stride yet. Mm-hmm. If Kuz plays exactly like this and the rest of the team plays exactly like this, are we a championship contender? Yeah. Yeah, we are.
Okay.
Like, are we as good as we can be? No.
Favorite still?
I think we're the favorite right now, man. I think this is the best team in the NBA. Like, they've got two superheroes, man. Like,
yeah.
It's not just superstar. It's like LeBron and AD. There are like five guys. I'm writing a piece for The Athletic that'll be out on Tuesday about this. But there are like, by my estimation, five guys in the NBA who are touched by the basketball gods. Mm-hmm. You've got like Steph Curry and James Harden are kind of like man-made superstars of these guys that are like, no basketball player is really like a normal person in terms of their build and athletic ability, but they're the closest thing. They dominate. They're superstars because of the skills that they have. That's not to say that players like LeBron and AD aren't like that, but LeBron, AD, Giannis, Joel Embiid, and Kevin Durant are the five guys that are like,
counting Durant because of the injury.
Sure, right. But I mean, that are still,
while you were talking, I was trying to figure out like who the five were.
The fifth one, right. Yeah. But they're the ones that's like, oh, no human being that size should be able to move like that type of guys, right? And
Simmons
like,
we got is there. He could just shoot.
See, Simmons' thing is like, Simmons is really impressive in person because he's 6'10 or so, but he moves like he's 6'3. Mm-hmm. He's really fluid and coordinated, but he's not like, there's not that degree of dominance. And you're right that there needs to be some skill attached to it. Like LeBron or AD aren't the best shooters in the NBA or anything, but they're good enough and they're good enough ball handlers to, and obviously LeBron's mastered the art of passing. But anyhow, my point is we've got two of those touched by the gods type of guys that like, they shouldn't be able to do that at that size.
Yeah.
And I underestimated the value of that. Not just that we've got two stars. Yeah. But they're like, they're superheroes, man. And just makes everybody's life so much easier.
Yep. All right. We'll go one more question here. Boomer to MGZ. Writes, hey guys, love the show. As a heads up, this is more of a fun game than a question that requires both Anthony and Pete. Pick back and forth from Lakers all times great to create two teams of seven with two guys coming off the bench. Now that the teams are set, which team wins and why? Whoever most recently ate pineapple picks first.
I have not eaten pineapple in a while, sadly.
So I'll go ahead and probably pick first then.
All right, sounds good.
So I'm picking first overall. I can.
Are we doing a snake draft here? Or
yeah, we'll just do. You want to go like one and then two, three, and then
four, five. You
four, five, whatever.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, so I'll go. Man, this is crazy. I'm saying this because we're just for one game, right?
For one game in their prime, right?
I'm picking LeBron first.
Okay. I will pick Kobe.
And then?
And then one game, Shaq.
Okay.
I should have picked Shaq before Kobe. Anyway.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. I'll go AD and Magic.
Wow, what an embarrassment of riches this franchise has.
Right? This is insane.
This is... So are we talking like... Just like how good of basketball players they are, or is it... So for example, Jerry West. Does Jerry West like do much in the NBA dribbling with his head down in 2019 and his right hand only?
That's where it gets complicated. Let's go like pre-19 or post-80. Post-1980.
Okay, post-1980. Yeah. All right. All right, so that eliminates Wilt from it, too. All right, I got Shaq.
That's tough, too. That's tough. Well, you wouldn't want a Shaq and Wilt combo, though.
Right. I feel like I'm going to kind of pull up some people. I'll go with Powell.
And?
Oh, yeah, I've got another pick, don't I? Post-1980. Do I want him? No. Give me Michael Cooper, 3-and-D guy who I do think would play today and be an excellent defender.
All right. So Cap hasn't been picked, huh?
No. No, I have, you know, Shaq at the five, so.
Yeah, it makes it tough. Yeah. I can actually play both Kareem and AD together.
You can. You can.
How about that? My team's killing you. I'll go Kareem. And did you pick Worthy?
I did not pick Worthy.
So I'll go, man, there's not much shooting on my team, huh?
No, there's not. That's why I'm not entirely sure. I think LeBron demands, you know, a trade at some point. Nice job, Irwin.
He's demanding a trade from a team with Anthony Davis and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That's right. He's got no spacing to work
with. Let's see. So I guess I wouldn't go Worthy. I'd have to go. I go Danny Green? Yeah, I'll go Danny Green.
Danny Green? Wow.
I need shooting. He's the best. He's probably the best shooter in the history of the Lakers.
You do. All right. I'm going to. My shooting's not great, but my idea is to physically punish you defensively all over the court. So I'm going to go with Meta.
Ooh.
So my team is Michael Cooper as a glorified one, right? He's not my ball handler, but Cooper, mm-hmm. Kobe, Meta, Shaq, and Pau Gasol to add a little bit more of the passing in there. So yeah, it's basically like the Kobe All-Star team plus Michael Cooper.
Shaq, and I have Magic, I have Green, I have LeBron.
Yeah, what is Magic doing while LeBron has the ball in his hands?
What's that?
What's Magic doing when while LeBron has the ball in his hands? You got yourself a high quality Rondo.
I'm LeBron just running a bunch.
You're just running. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead and try to stop these guys on the break.
And then we're gonna slow it down and beat you up.
And Cap, I have getting catch. Yeah, I like my team. They said to pick down to seven, but I think I'm just gonna do.
All right.
Top five here, and we're going to tweet these out. I want to see what people think about them.
Okay.
So we, again, it's Coop, Kobe, Meta, Pau, and Shaq against Magic, Green, LeBron, AD, and Kareem.
Is there somebody that we, like, egregiously left out? I'm always afraid in these types of things where someone asks you on the spot, and they're like, you're an idiot. You know, forgot this great player.
Like Lamar. Lamar not
being picked? I seriously considered Lamar, but I like what Powell brought to the table a little more.
I mean, had I not picked Kareem, you weren't going to pick Kareem. Mm-hmm. So that would have been, we probably wouldn't have been able to tweet out these, to be completely honest.
For sure.
But no, I like that. I think mine obviously has more star power and your team probably makes more sense.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But I do think I'm probably going to win the popular vote here.
I'm interested to see this.
Yeah, all right. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked on Lakers podcast. Fun one. Great question there at the very end. We did that off the top of our heads. So like we said, if we left somebody off, yell at Pete.
exactly.
Have a great rest of your day. We are going to be back again tomorrow. We still have a ton more questions to answer. And then we'll probably get into a topic. It's been a while since we kind of sussed out a topic. So I kind of want to get into some of that too. So fun stuff ahead. Lakers are still kicking ass. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Hopefully with a better voice.